Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's Sunday night. I am recovering, Brandon, from a very intense basketball game that you and I both watched on our respective television sets.
The Final Four has been decided in NCAA March Madness, and that UNC Kentucky game was lit.
It was amazing. I like to start the podcast with a topic that 85% of people listening will not care about at all. I have to admit, you know, we delayed the start of this week's podcast. You know, it was an international break, and there wasn't, I don't know, you know, we're 30 weeks into the season. We needed a few extra days to recharge the batteries, but and I'm actually feeling recharged too. I'm feeling like my energy's back a little bit. I feel like the last podcast I was a little sour. I was just feeling a little, you know, a little down, but you know, it's all good. You know,
you're feeling a little more positive now.
No, I'm not feeling more positive, but I'm just okay with it. You know, but I feel like, you know, if you're feeling bad about the FPL, just give it a few days. Give it, if we'd recorded that podcast even one day later, I would have been better.
Yeah, it was nice that you'd been 30 game weeks straight on the podcast. You hadn't even seen your baby once, so we took the week off so you could meet my child first time.
Yeah, that was good. I'm glad we did that. It was nice to meet her. She seems very cute.
I'm sure she'll be beautiful come mid-May when the season is over. But she'll be on her way to college at that point.
The timing was good to take a few days off, though, too, because this is the time of year. So I am, you know, the Premier League is certainly the sport that I am, you know, that I follow the most closely. But I'm sort of a sports fanatic across the board. And, you know, I really like baseball a lot, too. But the baseball season doesn't really overlap with the Premier League season too much. You know, the majority of the games are when the season's already over. But then there's this one stretch of March where college basketball, there's the NCAA tournament, college basketball, and I lose my mind about it for a couple days, and it's sort of like all other sports kind of like fall by the wayside for college basketball. But now it's like I'm ready to get back into the Premier League.
Doing the NCAA brackets, filling out your brackets with the 64 teams, it is like, to me, FPL light. In that I am not super well versed on all 64 teams that are going to end up in the March Madness tournament. Yep. I just breezily run through the bracket, picking a team here, a team there. I don't care.
Become a casual.
I am a casual. Exactly. A March Madness casual. And it feels great.
So that's what we've been up to. I don't know if there's anything more to say. We're going to get into – so in this week's episode of the podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about the international break, talk a little bit about Seamus Coleman. There were a couple of other injuries, a couple of other players who might have been injured, but it looks like they're okay. Then we're going to talk about the announcement of the double game weeks and some long-term planning. A lot of people are starting to wild card right now. And after that, we're going to talk about game week 30. And in particular, we're going to talk about captain choices for game week 30, because it's a tricky week for captain choices, especially if you are not on a wild card. A lot of the captain options that people want aren't players they necessarily have right now. So that's something that that we'll dive into a little bit, too. So that's the episode.
I'm excited for this captaincy conversation for game week 30, because right now I have my armband on Sergio Aguero, and it's confusing me.
Yeah, you can't feel good about that.
Not especially. So let's talk about it later.
Before that, Brandon, I have to ask you, are you interested in the Norwegian Premier League?
I mean, am I not interested in the Norwegian Premier League?
I can't understand if people are earnestly asking us to join the Norwegian, to start a Norwegian Premier League fantasy league, or if it's like kind of a troll job and they're sort of making fun of us or what. But like almost every day now, I get a post asking me if we're creating a Norwegian Premier League. I can't even name a team or a player in the Norwegian Premier League.
Did Bob Bradley at some point? Oh, it's the Tippeligaen. I think Bob Bradley manages in the Tippeligaen. So we owe it to the U.S. manager who cracked the Premier League to start a team.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Norwegian Premier League is about as competitive as Major League Soccer, you know, so there's no shame there. It's a nice, you know, I'm sure it's a good solid tier. I don't say that to disparage Major League Soccer. I'm saying, you know, I'm sure it's right there.
I mean, Stromgodset? How about, do you want to follow Stromgodset this season?
Yeah, I might. So I don't, okay, to answer the question that has been asked like a couple dozen times, we will not be starting a Norwegian Premier League fantasy league this year. I'm sorry. We're all in on the Gold Cup. We're all in on what else is even going on this summer? Like, somehow there's not a Copa America. There's been a Copa America every year.
I'm sure
year
there are a few golf tournaments happening this summer.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll go. Maybe we'll go all in on the British Open and
the She Believes Cup, maybe.
So that's that. I just want to put a button on the.
It is interesting that the not much is made of the Tippeligaen season starting the first week of April. I assume this is weather related. It's too cold in Norway to play.
I'm sure that's what it is. Yeah.
Well, there you have it. I mean,
yeah, it's a pretty simple explanation in the end, wasn't it?
It was.
Brandon Scott Gill has a question. He says, "Time to wild card. Every time I look at my West Brom players, I think, why are you still in my team?"
It's a good question, Scott. Yeah, I have Macaulay. I'm Team Macaulay, and I do feel this. I share the sentiments in that Macaulay seems like a long ways away from leaving my team, but. Their defenses, West Brom's defenses, look pretty spotty of late. They've just made up for their terrible defense by the number of goals that they score, be it Macaulay or Brunt, Craig Dawson more recently.
I know, and they just lost a fixture in game week 34.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking before we started the pod, one of the only game weeks perhaps in history where there has been one team to not play.
So yeah, that's
19 teams playing in one game week.
Terrible run, too. Where they play Man U away, Liverpool away, and a fixture in 34. But to answer the first part of the question, it is time to wild card for me. My wild card is active.
Wow, it is active. That is huge news. Dropped the bomb on this podcast.
I did.
When did you go active?
Well, I think I rage wild carded maybe on Monday. And so I built up a whole new team. It was very satisfying to transfer out like 11 players, maybe more. It was like almost the whole team. Like, I think.
Did you air your grievances as you transferred each of them out?
Shut up! Like, I needed a.
And to you, Philippe Coutinho.
No, it was very unsentimental. It was ruthless. It's hard to say which player I enjoyed getting rid of more. Getting rid of Phil Jones was intensely satisfying. But getting rid of Junior Stanislaw was intensely satisfying. It's like that Simpsons episode where Sideshow Bob brings Bart and Lisa back home to Marge.
Okay.
And he's like, "I want you to know that your children are very bad." And Marge goes, "Even Lisa?" And he goes, "Especially Lisa, but especially Bart."
So especially Stanislaus was bad on your team.
Exactly. Yeah. I could have told that in a funnier way. But let's move on, Brandon. I
do love your Simpson stories.
Oh, thank you. It's Stanislaus one is incredible because I'll never understand what happened there. I know he's injured now, but before he was injured, it was like what, 4 or 5 weeks of just no shows because like while they were losing every single game and needed goals.
Yeah, there's more to the story there. There's got to
be. There must be. So it feels good to have the wild card going.
I'm jealous. I'm not prepared to play my wild card yet. Since I've already played my triple captain, basically my wild card is going to be built around maximizing my bench boost. And I think that's going to be my strategy, I think, at least going into game week 34, probably game week 37. But it does seem kind of insane to wait that long to play my wild card.
Well, that was my thinking. I'm bringing those players in right now. I mean, you know where the double game weeks are coming. You look at a team like Middlesbrough, where you've got maybe that's not there's no one on that like there's no one on that team you want to start week in week out, but they have a pretty good double game week coming up.
Cough, Martin Deroon.
Deroon. Possibly someone like Ben Gibson is an interesting option. Victor Valdez is an interesting option. So players like that, I think, are good.
I was rather stunned that Ben Gibson got an England call up. That's got to be big for his confidence.
Yeah, well, that was like a comedy of errors because Phil Jones injured, or Chris Smalling stepped on Phil Jones's toe. I believe is what happened.
I'm shocked that it wasn't a Wales player that just came out of nowhere with a two-footer to destroy everyone in one fell swoop.
And then Smalling got injured himself. So the entire Man United back line, their central defenders, got injured. Now, the Chris Smalling one could actually be a blessing in disguise for Man U, but both those players got injured within like 4 days of each other.
I mean, Man United will be fine. They've got Eric Bailly, Marcus Rojo, and
Better. I mean,
they've got decent rotation there. And I think we have a question about Antonio Valencia that's coming up later on in the pod.
So wild card is active, feels good. You know, it gives me a little it's invigorating. I mean, we have 9 weeks left in the season. And, you know, for me, I don't have a ton to play for. But in our cash mini league, we have the playoffs this year for the first time in our head to head.
Yeah.
And I can still get into the playoffs. I'm only like a win away from that. So try to get into the playoffs, and then ideally I'll still have all my chips available. And I might even like forego using a chip earlier on so that I can save it for the playoffs.
You're going to go on a South Carolina-esque Final Four run, Josh, in the playoffs. This is exciting.
Yeah. So, so it is fun. It's just fun to use those chips. I actually wish they would go back. We need like another podcast where we just talk about what we wish the game site would do. But I wish they would go back to having we had to play a wild card just in January. You know, I think my team got very stale because I think I wild carded in game week 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the last 24 or 25 weeks, I have been stuck with players I don't want to have. You know, I mean, I finally got rid of Jordy Amat like a week ago, you know, because they just get buried at the end of your bench and there's just never a good time to get rid of them. I mean, I had, you know, Pickford was injured for 10 weeks and so if you could just play it in January, you could, you know, I feel like it gives you like a little energy boost too, you know.
What about a monthly wild card?
That's too much. I mean, that's like, I know there are like certain fantasy games where it's like you can every week you can like build a brand new team and that, like, that's too much. I like the structure of one transfer.
Yeah.
You know, even two. I think two you could justify two, but one transfer, you make two transfers, you burn 4 points. It puts you in like, it just gives you some structure. And so, you know, with a season this long, I don't want to be that anxious every single game week about like building a whole new team or finding three new players to transfer in or whatever.
So is it safe to say that you don't have a West Brom defender in your wild card team?
They're both gone. See you later, Ben Foster. What a horrible pickup you were.
I mean, just looking at Scott Gill's question, though, just having West Brom defenders is not reason enough to wild card. I mean, they score so many goals on set pieces.
Sure.
I'm beyond. I don't think I'll be starting Gareth McCauley this game week, maybe not many game weeks to come, but I'm more than happy to have him on my bench. He basically has all of my team value wrapped up in him right now.
That's true. Yeah, he should be up to like 7.5 given what he's done so far this year.
Well, he has 100% ownership, actually 99.9 since he wildcarded, Josh.
He should have vintage Vincent Kompany level prices. Remember, I think Vincent Kompany was like $7 million 1 year to start the season.
Yeah, that was pre his
injury history,
debilitating Abu Dhabi-esque injury run.
So, Brandon, let's get right into it. I mean, I know we could talk a little bit about game week 29, but let's just you know, everyone wants to talk about what's ahead now. It's been 10 days since game week 29 wrapped up. So let's get right into the international break. Let's not even take a break. Let's just get right into it.
We don't have to take a break, Josh, because the internationals took the break for us.
So there's a comment here from Jeff Question that I'm going to phrase to you as a question, which he says, international breaks just killing any planning knowledge I had.
Yeah, it's true. They're like dropping like flies, particularly the defenders. And Seamus Coleman, public enemy number one. I think he was one of those players that we all planned to get Everton D in because they had a game in game week 26 and game week 28. There was the great Baines-Coleman debate, and I think everyone was pretty stoked to have Coleman in their squads coming out of that run, especially with Hull on the horizon. And now, with Coleman out, just the entire prospect of anyone on the Everton team apart from Lukaku seems sort of strange to me. I mean, we can talk a little
Sean number one, you know, asked if, you know, with Coleman out, do you look at Holgate on Everton? The problem is, you know, they're about to run into two really difficult fixtures. You know, they play Liverpool away and Man United away, which and Leicester at home suddenly doesn't look like a very good fixture either from a defender standpoint. Even Burnley, not great, you know. So the next four are not – I mean, it just seems like I wouldn't do a like-for-like replacement. I guess I would look at, you know, Valencia is kind of the obvious swap, you know.
Well, you have to – okay, so Everton, they did not blank. They're not looking at a double right now. So Holgate, while he might be good value, and it looks like he'll probably slot into Coleman's position, why not spend that money on somebody that is going to have a double coming up?
Right. So Dan Henshaw, you know, suggested Walker or Bertrand. You know, Southampton have two double game weeks coming up, but neither of them are very good.
Yeah,
they're not very appealing doubles. So, but that being said, I mean, Bertrand, you know, at least vintage Bertrand was capable of, you know, a goal or an assist. So.
It's true, and he has been in good form for Southampton recently. Plus, getting the England call up, I think. I mean, that Southampton team, they're playing good football. I agree. Their fixtures don't look enticing, but it could be some kind of differential because Bertrand is good for an assist.
Yeah, I mean, Bertrand's 5.4 million. He is he's selected by 2.3% of managers. So if you really feel like you need a differential option, he's not a bad pickup. You know, he had two assists away to Sunderland in game week 25 and a clean sheet, picked up 14 points in that game. But he's picked up, you know, assists. He had an assist 2 weeks before that away to Swansea. So I think that Bertrand's an interesting option.
Cedric Suarez on the other side of the defense for Southampton, he's been kind of schizophrenic this season. He's got injury problems, but he's been consistently in the starting lineup for the last like 7 or 8 games, playing a full 90. He's bagged an assist, but he's very active on the wing.
Yeah.
And he's priced much more affordably at 4.8.
Yep.
So if cost is an issue for you, if you're looking at Bertrand, I'd strongly suggest you also take Suarez into your consideration.
And I guess if you have the money, Kyle Walker would be the other option there.
Yep. Josh, I'm already locked and loaded. I dropped Coleman and picked up Kyle Walker. He's in
did you
my
really?
Squad.
Yeah. That makes sense. What was Coleman at by the time I dropped him during my wild card? Already, actually, I didn't like the next two fixtures for him.
I think I had already lost 0.2 on Coleman just
that fast.
Overnight.
Wow.
Yeah, he dropped like a stone.
So he's listed at 6.1 right now as his current buying price. So yeah, so that's not a difficult. I mean, most people have enough money in the bank to make that up. You know, make that swap. I don't love the you know, Vertonghen is the cheap option that people look at.
What about Stephen Davies?
Yeah, Davies would be the one to look at there. I mean, Danny Rose is just—he's out maybe through the end of the season, right?
There's no news. It's like that project that your boss keeps asking you about. You're like, yeah, I'll get back to you on it. Don't worry about it. We're working on it.
And that's so sad. Like Kane out for the season likely, Rose out for the season likely, McGee out for the season likely.
That's McGee, say it ain't so.
Did Luke McGee?
Did Neil Taylor get to him?
Oh, actually, no, he joined Peterborough on loan. Excuse me. So he's out through the end of the season, though. It's a loan deal, Brandon. So that one counts. That's a tough one.
Peterborough, the law of Peterborough. That's what they call that. Yeah, it's going to be a tough road for Spurs. I mean, it's tough in that they've lost so many key players, but their fixture list remains just mouthwatering. So many greens in the difficulty rating. And also, Dele Alli, I have to believe Dele Alli is in your wildcard team. Him picking up that penalty in game week 29, I think, shocked everyone. But it was a real mission statement, I think, for Dele Alli, saying, I am the leader of this team when Harry Kane is not here.
Yeah, I'm really struggling right now with what to do with my Spurs. I feel like you really do need one Spurs midfielder, and I haven't decided who I want to bring in yet. I actually still have Son in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Alli is tempting, obviously, but he's kind of expensive. And if I'm going to bring in Sanchez, so the question is, do I drop all of my Liverpool midfielders during this wild card, or do I, because their run of fixtures is actually really solid, and you know they don't really have much to play for at this point. So, you know, do I keep Sadio Mane for this strong run? But there's really no double game weeks coming up for them, so it's just,
you're talking about expensive. I mean, Sadio Mane is way over. If you're comparing Mane to Dele Alli in current form, I think the choice is pretty clear to me.
But if you look at Liverpool's, that is true. But if you look at Liverpool's run from 30 to 38, they don't have a bad fixture. There's literally not one fixture on there that is worrisome, that is going to give them a trouble.
You worry easily, Josh, as well. So.
I do worry. I'm very cautious by nature. I mean, and granted, they have struggled with teams they should beat. But looking at this, I mean, they should win like 7 out of 9 of these games. And they have a lot to play for right now because, you know, they're in the I think they're in that fourth slot right now, right, for the Premier League. So, yeah. You know, there's really a lot to play for. All right. So, any other injury? We've talked about so far is Seamus Coleman. Alexis Sanchez played, right?
Yeah,
he's fine.
He played. Coutinho, Firmino both played for Brazil.
Did you see that Sanchez got like a talking to from his Chilean teammates?
Because he was sulking. What was that all about?
He was sulking after they lost, and all the Chileans went over to applaud the fans, and he went off to the locker room. And everyone was like, hey, this is an Arsenal. Like, you don't get to do this.
That's amazing.
You don't get to quit on your national team like this. I mean, especially on a national team where, like, they won a Copa America. Like, they have been very successful. Like, you lost Argentina. Okay. Like, that's a tough game.
Yeah.
You know, he's just, like, he's letting the club stuff affect him. But it's really he's just being very immature. And I wish he would stop. It's annoying.
I wonder how much I mean, clearly a lot has to do with Alexis Sanchez as a person, but being in the club culture at Arsenal probably hasn't helped him very much over the last few years.
He is just such a fun player to watch. Like, I want him to be a good guy. You know, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but it's a bummer to see him so sulky. You know, it hasn't really affected the way he plays, but then it makes me squirm when he gets like subbed off and
him to Vidal, who is equally just an incredible athlete and ferocious competitor, if I can roll out the cliches here. Right. But you can't imagine that Vidal would pull crap like that.
That kind of fire. Like, I mean, we all know people like this, right? Like people who like just can't turn it off or whatever, but I don't know. It's just like he's got to grow up. He's like he's almost 30. Pull yourself together, man.
Okay, so should we talk about this? We're already talking about Alexis Sanchez. You're wild carding. A lot of people are thinking about
He was the first player I brought in.
I think that's kind of the advice we were pushing for the last couple of weeks when we were coming out of these blanks, that Sanchez is still, despite all the turmoil at that club, right?
Nothing affects him. I mean, he could be trying to force a move out of Arsenal at the end of the season. He could be feuding with Arsene Wenger. He could be injured. It wouldn't matter. He's still going to play and he's still going to score or assist most games that he's in, and he's on penalties. So, and they have two double game weeks coming up. I mean, there's just so many different reasons to bring in Sanchez. He's the only player on that team I would bring in. I wouldn't look at any of the defenders, and especially with Peter Cech out for a couple of weeks. I wouldn't look at any of the other midfielders. I mean, there's no other options except him, especially with Giroud not being a consistent, option at the forward line.
Yeah. Are you at all surprised that we're not talking about Theo Walcott at this point in the season, given the start he had? I mean, that's one of the more predictable things that has happened.
I'm not surprised. No. Theo.
Theo.
All right. We talked about Smalling and Jones. Antonio is out for 3 to 4 weeks. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah, that's
Antonio is like, he's in that Sani Cazorla. Like, I actually think I need to start adding Antonio to that. You know, like when I talk about my favorite players to watch in the Premier League, I always say Santi, but I think Antonio is right there. I mean, that guy is really fun to watch.
Yes, he is. I mean, just pound for pound, the best goal celebrations around the world.
pound for pound. He is pound for pound. He also, I love the way that he can play left back. He can play as a striker. He can play as a winger. Really versatile player. And yeah, so too bad, Antonio. Get well soon.
So going back to the Phil Jones and Chris Smalling injuries, we've got Rojo priced at 5.2, and we've got Eric Bailly. Let's see, where is Eric Bailly? Okay, there is Eric Bailly. He's at 5.3. I love Eric Bailly, and I'd say he's looking pretty tempting to me right now.
Yeah, I like Eric Bailly as well. And let's see. Okay, so Eric Bailly has played 3 of the last 4 matches. So pretty good. I mean, they don't have they're not in the FA Cup anymore, but they are in the Europa League. And so they're the only – okay, so they're actually – I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit, or I'm just going to hint at this a little bit. But, you know, in my opinion, the only Man United player that I feel very confident bringing in my wild card would be Ibrahimovic. And even him, I can't actually bring in because he doesn't play this upcoming game week.
Yeah.
So I need like a placeholder player, someone like Diego Costa or Jamie Vardy, who is like there for like 2 weeks, and then I bring Zlatan in.
Now, did you see these alarmist headlines about Diego Costa getting scans on his ankle? I mean, apparently he's all clear, but there was some fretting about an injury that he picked up on his ankle in training for Spain.
No, I'm happy to say I missed that. I actually don't have him on my team right now anyway. And yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, we could actually spend like a whole episode talking about wildcard stuff because, you know, the Lukaku question is really tricky for me. You know, like, can you drop Lukaku given his form and given how he's performing? You know, like, is he kind of undroppable right now?
I feel like he is.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, he scored in the last 4 games. He just scored in World Cup qualifying. He has, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He has 9 goals in his last 6 matches. I mean, yeah, I think he's interoperable too. 9 bonus points in those matches too.
The fixtures are not so appealing. I mean, I do actually like his chances of scoring against Liverpool this weekend. But yeah. Then you're away at Old Trafford and then Leicester, which you're really unsure how Leicester is going to be in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It does seem like he's sort of okay. The thing is, we know that he's not fixture proof. I mean, this is a guy who can definitely, especially in a way, it's interesting. Like, so I'm looking at his performance and the places where he hasn't scored, in the last, you know, 10 game weeks or so. It's been away to Middlesbrough, away to Stoke, away to Crystal Palace, away to Hull, didn't score against Arsenal, didn't score against Liverpool, didn't score against Man U or Southampton. He's scored kind of against everybody else, but
basically just mostly at home too. He loves playing at home against crap teams.
Yeah, but then he did score away to Spurs, and you know he scored a goal away to Man City earlier this season. So I don't think that he's like a full on like flat track bully, but there's still like a little part of you that's like, are you? Like, can I trust you? You know, can I trust you like over the double game?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There is. It's the continuing debate of resurrecting the Trollkaku signature and then putting it to bed permanently, and then the next week we have to resurrect it again. He is, and probably always will be that kind of mercurial player. But
he is trying to force a move to a Champions League side in the offseason. So I think that
Benfica fans, watch out.
Yeah. So I don't think that PSG, maybe that PSG seems like the most obvious fit, doesn't it? So I feel like if there's no way he's going to turn it off the last 10 weeks, right? Because he needs to play as well as he can, try to win the Golden Boot, you know, try to leave a great impression, you know, kind of like Luis Suarez did his last season.
One of my more lasting memories from this season will be him trying to claim that Tom Davies' first Premier League goal. Yeah. And he just oozes this striker mentality, sort of going back to what we were saying about Alexis Sanchez. Like, Lukaku cares about one thing and one thing only: Lukaku's stats, Lukaku's goal bonuses, and Lukaku's Champions League transfer. So I totally...
You don't know him. You don't know what he's... You don't know what makes him tick.
I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. He's just... He's an ambitious guy.
he and Valencia seem to get along very well.
I mean, they're, I'm sure if you're hanging schools. Out with Rom, he'd be nice, he'd be fun, he'd be smart. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be friends with him, honestly.
Last international break question. Rachel P.I., who's a private investigator that we know, says, are the Netherlands going to miss another big tournament?
I'm going to say it right here on Always Cheating. Yeah, no Netherlands in the World Cup.
I agree with that. It makes me very sad. I was actually looking at the international. I was looking at their group yesterday, and who doesn't like to see Netherlands in the World Cup finals? You know,
hey, it scored one of my favorite goals of the World Cup. Robin van Persie diving header, so beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
God, how old is Iron Robin at this point? It seems like he's been scoring goals in international tournaments as long as I've been alive.
I know. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. All right, Brendan, let's take a quick break and let's talk about the double game weeks and some long-term planning. We could almost call this like a wild card section because a lot of these questions are very wild card focused.
Wild card.
I think you had like an actual sound effect for a second there. Same old podcast, always cheating. All right, Brendan, we're back. Double game weeks, long-term planning, wild cards, whatever you want to call this section. So there are some new double game weeks that have been announced. Double game weeks have been announced for Crystal Palace, Man United, and Middlesbrough, along with a blank game week for West Brom. So just quickly, those double game weeks that have been announced are Crystal Palace. They play away to Liverpool and home to Spurs. Horrible. Totally horrible. Man United play away to Burnley and away to Man City. So, you know, okay. And then the Burgers play away to Bournemouth and home to Sunderland, which would be incredibly exciting if they had any offensive players.
Yeah, defenders are really the story of the day for Burger. And did you see this goal that Zaha scored over the international break?
No, I didn't.
It was, let's see. I'm not going to be able to describe it to you because I watched it like 3 days ago, and I can see moments of it in my head. There's a lots of very skillful dribbling through players and then a well-placed shot into an unstoppable position of the goal. But he looked good. He's looked very good since he got back from Akon. And if I were to punt on anyone from Palace, I guess it'd be Zaha. I mean, can I make that case?
Well, it would feel very punty. Let me just pull up Zaha. We did not do a deep dive into Crystal Palace players, the numbers wise, at least before this episode. But
so the knowledge on Always Cheating is so deep that we can just shoot it right from the hip.
After 30 weeks, we have internalized a fair amount of this stuff, I think. But in the last,
I memorized Wilfred Zaha's name.
The last six game weeks, Zaha has he's played the majority of the games. He's played all six games, more than 60. The minimum was 67. He's played the full 93 times, and he did score away to West Brom in game week 27. But you know, remember game week 27 now is like it's like a month ago, because they didn't have a fixture in game week 28, and then they played in game week 29 and they won.
Need we remind you that West Brom defenders don't play defense. They just post up on corner kicks.
Right. It was a rare scoreless loss for West Brom, that 2-0 away loss. I don't know why they were getting so singled out for being on the beach. Like, a lot of teams are on the beach right now.
Also, beach is nice.
Yeah, Watford's been on the beach for like 18 weeks. When's the last time you cared about a Watford game?
The Watford uniforms actually are orange, but they've been on the beach for so long that the sun has faded them. Pure yellow. Sun faded.
I've not watched with any kind of fantasy related interest a Watford game in like 20 weeks. Like I cannot remember the last time there was like anything. We even talked about a Watford player in the pod.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like that Troy Deeney moment for a while, but
yeah. And then he scored an own goal just to punish everyone who had that bright idea.
Yeah, exactly.
The Watford this season has been amazing because, Luke Shaw broke his leg, was that in a Champions League match or Europa League, whatever.
Yeah,
Broke his leg, famously broke his leg and was out. And he came back at the start of the season. And that Watford game in which Watford steamrolled United actually suspended Luke Shaw's career more than his broken leg. That's my theory anyway.
Mourinho is so interesting the way he just loses trust in players. There's, you know, once he does, you're just, you'll never be, I mean, like look at Juan Mata, right? I mean, Juan Mata, you know, one of the best players on, you know, player of the year for Chelsea 2 years in a row. And then, you know, Mourinho has used him a fair amount, to be fair, but it's just, I would never feel safe bringing Juan Mata into my team because I know that he doesn't fully have Mourinho's trust, you know? So
yeah, they're not passing notes in the locker room or sharing secrets.
Aren't. Jeremiah Johnson says, should we mainly, this is all under the umbrella of wildcarding and long-term planning. Jeremiah Johnson says, should we mainly target those fighting for top four and against regulation? Any patterns from previous seasons regarding the final quarter of the season?
Patterns. Man, Jeremiah, you're really asking a lot of us here. I think...
Not asking that much. Trends, I'll say.
Well, yeah, the trend is, as we were just talking about teams on the beach, there will be teams, particularly like a month from now when we're late April, where there are teams like well and truly on the beach. But then you'll have these odd games, like it was the last game week of the season where Lukaku was a loney at West Brom and scores a hat trick. There are still rogue players out there that are playing for themselves. They're playing for guts, glory, permanent loan moves, and all this, that, and the other that can throw off your best laid plans or your patterns.
Yeah, I mean, outside of what are the teams that have like basically nothing to play for at this point? West Brom, probably Watford,
Stoke,
definitely Stoke. I mean, even Everton, it feels like they're trying to build something, so it doesn't feel like that team is coasting right now. I mean, the results also back that up. Maybe Burnley is getting close, right? I mean, they're pretty safe. I can't imagine them going down this year.
Oh, yeah. I would agree.
If Leicester can win a couple more games, they'd be in that category, too. I mean, they're pretty much already there, but they're playing so well that and they have so much to make up for. You know, they're so bad. How about Southampton?
Okay, so here are three interesting teams. West Ham, Southampton... Well, two interesting teams. Let's talk about West Ham and Southampton.
The Hams. Okay, let's
talk about the two Hams. So West Ham, I feel like they're safe. Let's see, how many points are they on? They're on 33 points, but there's no way they're going to get dragged into anything.
Right, right.
But I feel like they've had such a depressing, dark season that Bilic is going to be pushing for wins till the last week just to sort of like save whatever reputation he has or whatever goodwill they're trying to build up in this new London stadium. So I would not count West Ham among those teams. That's just my gut feeling.
Well, yeah, but losing Antonio hurts. I mean, they lost Antonio and Payet now, who are kind of the two. Although Lanzini is playing so well that maybe they're a little...
Is it time for Snodgrass to shine now that Antonio is...
He has played so poorly. Maybe Snodgrass has to be the best player in a bad team.
I think that's kind of what I was going to state, is that the better players that are knocked off of the West Ham lineup, the better that Snodgrass is going to look.
So, you know, Bournemouth, I think, is in that category. They, you know, they're on 33 points now. They're in 11th place. I can't see them going down. Really, anyone. So the teams that could still like probably go down, right, are Sunderland, the Burgers, Hull City, Swansea, Crystal Palace. I'm going to cut Leicester out because I just think there's just no chance they're going to get relegated.
I agree.
Watford, I think, is still in some trouble.
Yeah.
And I think Burnley is fine. And I feel the same way about West Ham and Bournemouth. So that leaves that's like six teams then that are in the relegation spot.
Yeah.
Maybe seven.
Yeah. Right. So meaning if we're looking at patterns, you might want to invest. I mean, this is why Gylfi Sigurdsson is still on everybody's team. How are you feeling about wildcarding for Gylfi?
So
too expensive.
He's actually still in my squad for now, but he might have to get cut if I need to fund another move.
Right.
I'm thinking about leaving some money in the bank for me to make an easy move for Zlatan.
Okay.
After this game week.
Yeah.
Because I think even with the Europa League, I think that Zlatan is, he effectively just got a month break, right? He's retired from international duty. couldn't play the last three fixtures. And, you know, there was an international break. I think he did play in the Europa League game. I know he did.
He's been playing so many minutes. He's not going to – once he comes back from this suspension, he is not going to be missing any of these matches. If they're playing a double, he'll be the last person to be rotated.
He really will. Exactly. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he played every single fixture that Manu has the rest of the season. I mean,
he hasn't missed a single Premier League fixture apart from the ones where he's been suspended.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is jacked. He looks like me actually. He's not quite as fit as I am, but he's like right there. You know, he's like just a cut below.
Your hair is just a little bit longer than.
That's the only difference. Yeah, exactly. but I wear it up. You know, and I straight up like Marge Simpson. So it's all the Simpsons references today. All right. So I don't know if that answers your question, Jeremiah. I think the answer is. That I think you've got it right. I mean, I think in previous seasons we have seen this, though, right? I mean, this happened. You know, I remember last year. Just name one example. A lot of people waited to play their triple captain until game week 37, and they were going to triple captain Romelu Lukaku. But Everton at that point was in like eighth place, right? They had nothing to play for, and Lukaku did nothing, right? Yeah. He picked up 4 points in two games. So, you know, because it was April and they couldn't make the Europa League or Champions League. They couldn't get relegated and he did not give a shit. Right. So I do think you'll start to see that more, but I think, as you said earlier, Brandon, we're not quite there yet with some of these teams, you know, give them like two more weeks and we'll have a clear picture of who might go down and who's on the beach.
Yeah. All right. Adam Beasley tweets at us. There's a mad rush for Valencia. Is it best to just follow the herd? So we've talked a little bit about replacements for all of the fallen battle heroes of the United defense.
I think that, I mean, Valencia is the obvious option because even if they don't keep a clean sheet, he can get attacking points. I mean, he has 20 points. He has 20 more points than any other Man U defender.
That goal against poor Victor Valdez was ridiculous.
And as much as you and I like Bailly as a player, and I feel the same way, I'm not sure that he's not as good a fantasy asset as he is an actual football player. I mean, he has no goals and no assists on the season. And I think that he only has...
Well, he's accumulated a few BAPs.
He's 9-9 bonus points, it looks like.
So, yeah, you're basically just getting him on the guarantee that Manchester United gets clean sheets coming up, which, you know,
The counter here. Well, his ownership's not actually as high as I was expecting. And Antonio's ownership is only 13.7%. Wouldn't you have expected that to be closer to like 30? I really misjudged his ownership level.
What did I expect Tony V's ownership to be at? That's a very good question.
At least 20, right? I mean, like 20-25%.
Maybe. I feel like nobody's been talking about him until just recently.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like, as Adam says, the herd is just starting to form here with Tony.
I mean, he's got three goals He has three assists and one goal in the last six fixtures, and he also has three clean sheets. So, he's picked up a ton of points.
It's true. It's the smartest pick. I mean, if Smalling or Jones miraculously comes back from injury, Valencia is not going to get rotated. He's safe.
Right.
He's not like as expensive. I'm more shocked at how cheap he is. At 5.8, I kind of expected him to be a little more expensive.
Yeah, and exactly. At 5.8 versus 5.3 for Bay, I pay the extra 0.5 million for the security.
Yeah.
Blind, Rojo, Smalling, Jones, I wouldn't even look at those guys. I just don't feel safe, you know, saying that they would start. I mean, Luke Shaw might get some starts near the end.
Yeah.
Even just to put him in the shop window, you know, so, which is crazy, right? Because remember, Luke Shaw was supposed to be like, you know, the left back of the future for the England national team. And now he's kind of like, I don't know, he's probably going to play for Everton next year or something.
Yeah, that's another one where I want to know what the story is. What's really going on?
Nick Goodall. Okay, you know what, Nick? Your question is a good question, but it would take us like a whole episode to answer. So we're going to save it for next week.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Mark chimes in and says, is any Manchester United player safe from rotation in April? Which is something that we have kind of touched upon. Zlatan seems to be the only attacking player safe from rotation and just a lock for every minute upcoming, barring suspension.
Yeah,
I mean, Valencia and De Gea are probably your only other options.
Right. De Gea too. Dave from Burnley asked a very similar question. I think that what we know from Mourinho over the years that Mourinho tends to – we haven't actually seen it with Man U this year, although he could be really trying to see what everybody has. You know, in general, Mourinho is a player, as a manager, who likes to keep a pretty tight starting 11, you know, maybe just a couple players are interchangeable. But in general, you've got 8 or 9 guys who are playing, you know, every single game week. When he won the league with Chelsea a couple years ago, he had 3 players in Ibra, Hazard, and – was it John Terry, maybe, who played in every single game during that season, all 38 fixtures?
You mean Diego Costa, not Ibra, right?
Yeah, did I say – I actually meant to say Hazard, which is weird. Hazard, Ivanovic, and Terry.
There you go.
Yeah, I completely – yeah, excuse me. So if anyone still remembers my point.
Well, I am slightly aggrieved at all this because I lost my head-to-head in game week 29 because somebody – had Juan Mata in their team, and he comes in and he scored a goal, or he got an assist. He ended up with, but no, it was the assist and the 2 bonus points that ended up screwing me over. So despite that, I do not think we can come close to recommending Juan Mata for your fantasy team.
All these, like, who knows options, you know? I mean, Mkhitaryan is maybe healthy again. I mean, that midfield, I wouldn't touch. I wouldn't touch any player in that midfield.
No, I can't believe how little we've talked about Paul Pogba on this podcast this season.
Pogba.
All right, here's another guy that we haven't talked about a lot. It's Niall Parker, and with the question, is Tadic the go-to mid-price midfielder after continuing his recent fine form with Serbia over the international break? Now, Josh, you watched that Serbia match. What did you think of his performance?
I did. I watched it closely. I watched it with a couple Serbian scouts, actually, so I really had a good insight into Tadic. Tadic is a player who I would just like, I mean, maybe it's my own bias, but I would never bring Tadic in. I mean, the guy is the most mercurial player. He is like, you never know when you're going to get good Tadic, right? It's like, it just, and then he like, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's an attitude thing or what, but like the guy like just will randomly like not start. Like he'll have like 2 goals and then like come on in the 70th minute in the next match. Like, I don't know. He seems perfectly fit, right? I'm not sure what the deal is.
So does the Gabbiadini injury concern you with Tadic? I mean, you've basically just said that you're not terribly interested in Tadic, but if I'm looking at Tadic, does the fact that they just lost their amazing new striker who's would create a lot of assist potential for Tadic, and he's gone now?
Yeah. Is he lost? How long is he lost for? I mean, Gabbiadini is probably going to be back in a couple weeks. So, you know, it's just a groin injury. That's not that bad.
I wish I knew more about groin injuries, Josh, many ways.
I know plenty.
Let's see. So, fine form in the Premier League for Tadic. He's got 3 assists in the last 3 games, though he did blank against Spurs, but you can't blame anybody for that. And he's got a goal in there as well. But 3 starts in a row, that's definitely momentum in terms of Dusan Tadic. So I don't know.
Okay, they have 2 double game weeks coming up, you know, and they're both home, although unfortunately they're home to Arsenal and Man U. But, you know, I mean, Arsenal have quit on their coach, so they could definitely ship a couple there. And Man United, I mean, you know, Middlesbrough just scored on them, right? So how confident can you feel in Man United's defense?
I almost feel like you're just as well off getting Wilfred Zaha into your team than you are Dusan Tadic.
You know, there's an interesting, just to go back to Man U for a second, just because I was thinking about this Man U Southampton game and when it gets rescheduled. If Man U goes all the way to the Europa League final it could create a situation like we saw with Liverpool last season. And when Liverpool played the final, it was like the only thing they had to play for at that point.
Yeah.
It was either like they get a Champions League spot or they finished ninth. Like there was, it was very extreme what was going to happen to them, and or maybe seventh or whatever it was. You know, out of all the European spots, and they had a fixture before that. You know, I think they was played on like a Wednesday or something, and he rested everybody for the weekend. But like, you know, like this team was full of like 19-year-olds. You know, because there was just no reason to field anybody important in the Premier League game that week. Just you know, to rest everybody before the Europa League final.
So, Ben Woodburn played all 11 positions.
So I mean, I guess that would make me, if I were going to. You know, if I'm waiting until like game week 37 or something to to triple captain Ibrahimovic, I guess I would be paying a pretty close attention to the Europa League to make sure that scenario can't arise. But it's like too many balls in the air to like really predict what's going to happen there. But it's just something to be aware of.
All right, before we jump out of the wild card segment, do you have anything else you want to say about Palace or Borough? Sean number one tweeted at us if we dare look at any of these players.
Yeah, I wish Palace's run was a little better. I mean, they play Chelsea, Southampton, both away, Arsenal at home, Leicester at home. Those are not good fixtures. And their double game week is Liverpool and Tottenham. I mean, what player would you want on that squad?
Yeah, it's not a defender, that's for sure.
And Burrow, you know, I brought in Victor Valdez on my wild card. I like Valdez and Pickford as a rotation. Yeah, I mean, it's not a perfect rotation, but you know, having Valdez long term, I don't know. He's played pretty well for one thing, and
yeah, man, you know, he's made some great shot stops for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I mean, Burrow, I know they fired Karanka, but there's only one way that they're going to stay up, and that's by playing the same kind of defense they played before. I mean, their way to stay up is to play like Leicester did, you know, two seasons before, where they won, you know, like 5-1-0 games, right? And just at, you know, and then there, and that's why Burrow's going to win the league next year with Martin Darun.
Story as old as time at this
Martin
point.
Martin Darun is the new Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah, Darun is just a guy who's been hanging around my midfield for all season and picked him up at 4.3. I think he still is 4.3. How much does he cost? But he's such an interesting player in the league and in Berger because he is such a non-personality in the team, but he is, you'll notice, just involved in a lot of their attacking moves going forward. And he got on the end of that wonderful cross at the end of that Manchester City game. Mm-hmm. He has scoring potential, so why not? I'd say Darun has got to be your first. He's priced at 4.4 now.
Great fifth midfielder, and in fact, yeah, he is my fifth midfielder.
There you go. I mean, that's a bench boost playing a double game week.
Yeah, that's exactly. So I think the answer is no to Palace and yes to Burrow. I wish Palace's fixtures were better because I do think that if they were a little better, their defense has been playing a lot better. So I think that I would look at maybe one of their defender options. But as it is, I wouldn't look at anybody on that team.
All right, Joshua, let's take a break and we'll come back and preview game week 30.
All right, let's do it. Same old podcast, always cheating. And we're back. Brandon, it's game week 30, finally. And I'm excited about this. We have 8 fixtures on Saturday. It's like old school. I feel like we haven't had an 8 fixture Saturday, 2 fixture Sunday in a long time.
The goal rush is going to be lit on NBC.
It is. It's going to be the flame emojis. So the first question. Okay, so let's when we talk, we think about game week 30. Let's kind of frame it around the captaincies because Hagsrud. When I see that, I always think of Hagar the Horrible. Hagsrud. Hagsrud.
What about said, Hagrid, the Harry Potter character?
Oh, or that would definitely be more logical. Says the captain this week is a very tough choice,
as opposed to some comic strip from 25 years ago with a Viking.
Luke Thunberg says, would a -4 to bring in Sanchez be justified if I plan on captaining him? Captain options seem very few and far between this week. And then the brilliantly named Rupert Flowerdew says, a discussion on who to captain in game week 30 would be good. plenty of candidates. Oh my God, controversial. Flowerdew thinks there's plenty of candidates. Thunberg thinks there are no candidates.
Rupert Flowerdew, where have you been our entire run of the podcast? You're like number one listener name with a bullet.
Yeah, it doesn't make me comfortable to MC this Flowerdew Thunberg feud, but I guess we'll we'll do our best.
Luke Thunberg, he's one of our friends. We corresponded with him on Twitter. He's a really great FPL manager, very smart guy. Trust him, but I'm kind of blown away by this temptation to burn four and captain Alexis against City. I am not buying it, given the form that Arsenal is in right now.
Well, there's Sanchez form and there's Arsenal form.
We can talk until we're blue in the face about how they differ, but
I hope we do
until one of us is dead.
Okay, so let's keep the Arsenal. So Arsenal's the last fixture on Sunday. So let's keep that in the back of our head, and let's look at the games, and let's think about the captain options, and then we'll try to like wrap it up at the end. So Liverpool, Everton. Liverpool, I don't know. I mean,
these derbies never go well for Everton. They never do.
Yeah. And Liverpool, I guess they feel good about the 1-1 draw with, I guess they can't because Alana missed a pretty brilliant chance to like help them secure a Champions League spot.
I mean, he missed what was basically a sitter and also was about to be a contender for goal of the season as well.
So yeah.
Disaster all the way around.
Yeah. I think it's a very difficult game to predict. I think that Everton, it seems like one of those games where Lukaku is going to get 6 points, right? They're going to be down like 3-0 and he'll get
an assist off an own goal.
Oh, I was going to say he's going to get like a random, like Liverpool will be pressing, looking for like, their third goal or whatever, the fourth goal. And, suddenly a stray ball will fall into Lukaku's path and he'll be 1-on-1 with the keeper. Mm-hmm. Like Lukaku's ability to be 1-on-1 with the keeper it happens like every second. Like, I don't know how it happens so much more for him.
Yeah, it's not like he's the fastest guy. He's just he's so strong and can shield the ball while running at pace. It's really
incredible. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty fast. I mean, he did a 1-on-1 with, I'm actually thinking of Mane.
Carl Lewis.
Yeah. Carl Lewis. So, Liverpool, Everton, I don't love this from a fantasy perspective, especially with Seamus Coleman out. I mean, Coleman was, so valuable to that Everton attack. I do not think that attack's going to look as good without Coleman there. And it probably has a knock-on effect and hurts Lukaku too. It surely does. I mean, given how many assists Coleman set up for Lukaku.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a huge test for the Everton midfield. Morgan Schneiderlin, assuming he starts.
But he's battling an injury right now too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're looking a little soft in the middle, which they can occasionally, and if Liverpool decides to pull off a good Liverpool performance, they could just steamroll Everton's back line.
Yeah.
It's wildly unpredictable.
It's wildly unpredictable, so I'm not even going to hazard a prediction. Burnley Spurs, on the one hand, the Spurs are so much better that you want to think of a possible captain option coming from this game. But, I just don't trust anybody that's playing Burnley on the road.
Yeah, I agree. Their defense is so organized, so solid.
Yeah. Playing at Turf Moor, that is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nothing you want to bet against. So, no. While you wouldn't be unhappy to field Spurs attack, the case for captaincy is not solid.
I think Spurs will win like 1-0 maybe, but good luck predicting where the goal is going to come from.
Yeah. So then it's Chelsea Crystal Palace. This one to me is our first big captaincy option.
Right. Exactly. So I think that Diego Costa seems like maybe the clear. If you were wildcarding as I am, it's really tempting and almost impossible not to bring in Diego Costa. Mm-hmm. For two reasons. One is because it's the best captain option for this game week, I think. We'll talk more about this as we go through the fixtures. But also because his price point is 10.7, which makes it very easy to move from Costa to Ibrahimovic, which is where I want to be long term. And, if I'm trying to move a 7 million player to Ibrahimovic, like it's such a headache to even think about that, right? Because I'll have to like basically gut my wild carded team to bring him in. So
be a real shame, Josh.
It would be a real shame. So, yeah, I think that, you know, Hazard, what do you think about Hazard? I know he's, I think he's going to be healthy for this game. He's got a, like a calf injury.
Yeah, I love Hazard for this matchup. I won't have him in my team just because I can't, because I won't be wildcarding. But if I've got Hazard, I'd say between Costa and Hazard, for me, maybe Hazard wins by 52-48% in favor of Hazard for captaincy.
Interesting. Wow, in favor of Hazard. That's interesting. I would not go that way myself, but I would... I don't know, but you know, my Hazard biases are long established on this podcast, so you can't trust me with Hazard.
And perhaps it's my reverse bias, and I think I've been sort of chasing this Hazard's form. I mean, I haven't actually been bringing him into my team, but I've been waiting for him to become a must-own player. I think this latter half of the season, I think a lot of people have.
I really hate Hazard. I think I like really, I genuinely hate him.
No, you don't.
Okay, no, I don't. But he is
a creator of many great memories for us. I mean, many terrible memories as well, but.
For me. so let's say, I mean, I know Cristobal also played a little bit better, but they've barely played in the last month. You know, I think that this is like a 4-0 Chelsea win. Maybe
what about, okay, here, I'll throw this one at you. Marcus Alonso, captain?
Yeah. I don't like to captain keepers. I just think it's defenders. Like all it takes is a random set piece, a corner kick, anything for that clean sheet to go away.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm not saying like there's never a time to do it, but... You know, like a double game week, maybe, you know, if they were playing Crystal Palace and Burnley back to back, then point, I, fair that's, point. Yeah, yeah. Hull, West Ham.
Oh, man.
Pass.
Yeah,
pass.
That's a pass. Should be an interesting game.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game. I think they both need this game. I mean, Hull really need this game and West Ham. And you're right. What you're saying about West Ham earlier is true. It does feel like they're still playing for something. Maybe because they started on such a sour note. And I think they do like to play for Bilic. You know, I don't think they want him to get sacked at the end of the season. So, yeah, I think that's probably like a draw, right? Like 1-1 draw seems about right there.
What about a Niasse punt, an Omar Niasse punt?
Yeah, it doesn't work for the structure I'm going for. But he seems like a good striker option.
Yeah, if he gets the playing time. Okay, yeah. Next up, it's Leicester Stoke.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about Leicester at all this episode, and
Jamie Vardy bandwagon is in full flight right now.
Understandably so. I mean, I am really high on Leicester right now, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, because this is a really talented team full of excellent, like, you know, full of almost all the players who won the league last year, minus N'Golo Kante, and they are like loving playing together right now. Like they're playing so confidently. It's a 3 on the bounce in the Premier League, and then they won the they won against Sevilla in the Champions League too. So I don't think this team is deep enough to worry about rotation. You know, in the Atletico Madrid game, it's not like, first of all, they have to stay out of relegation, right? So there's no chance that Mahrez or Vardy are going to get rested because they're playing the second leg of the Atletico match.
Apart from this loss to Spurs, though, about a month ago, Stoke haven't looked all that bad. I mean, they gave a great second half performance against Chelsea last game week, and then there was the draw against City prior to that.
What about Vardy as a captain choice this game week?
Well, yeah, again, looking at the Stoke form, I mean, whatever. Yeah, why not? I mean,
he just scored again today.
Yeah, beautiful goal. Yeah. Great pass from Lallana to put him through and finished in vintage Jamie Vardy form. He does look like the player of last season a bit. I wouldn't look askance at someone who captained Jamie Vardy.
Neither would I. I would not kick him out of bed.
It's got to be Jamie Vardy, but not Riyad Mahrez. I think Mahrez still is on the outside of this FPL conversation for the moment.
Yeah, I think so. His price makes it really hard to bring him in, too. I mean, it's a huge punt for a 9, whatever he is, 9.1 or something like that. Man United, West Brom. Without Ibra, I can't say that I'm very excited about this game.
Yeah, don't bother. Just don't bother.
Yeah, they're going to win, I'm sure. But, you know, it's going to be like Ander Herrera to Paul Pogba.
I mean, say you're planning to – there's your mention, Pogba. Say you're planning to wild card, like going into game week 31. You're just going to throw all caution to the wind. I mean, maybe Marcus Rashford for this fixture?
Okay. Will he even play? I mean, who knows? You know, like
– Martial? Who knows?
You just like maybe like these guys just don't play with any consistency. It's impossible to know how they're going to line up. Yeah. I mean,
this is also just, the kind of game that West Brom might actually show up for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, you have to give them credit for how they played against Arsenal. Yeah. Watford Sunderland. Ugh. Okay. The one thing to note here is that Jermaine Defoe is a tempting wild card option. I don't plan to bring him in, but I think he is tempting. Scored again today. You know, I mean, a Watford team that, as we've established, is pretty much on the beach. You know, I think that Defoe could definitely pick up a goal or two in this game.
What if Watford comes out for this match and it turns out their kit sponsor has been changed to Pacific Coast Pacific Sunwear?
Yeah, or the Sunglasses Hut. let's just move on. Southampton, Bournemouth. I don't have much to say about this game either.
I think this is going to be, it could be one of the best games of the more competitive games of the weekend. I mean, obviously you've got
pure watch, perhaps
a good pure watch. I mean, you do have lots of killer fixtures like Arsenal, City and Liverpool, Everton, but these teams seem pretty well matched in form and personnel at the moment.
What do you think about Maya Yoshida as a wild card player? Started the last 10 fixtures.
I mean, he's got to free up an insane amount of cash, and he's 4.3
million.
Yeah, he's in for the rest of the season.
4.3 million in two double game weeks. I think he's worth bringing in, especially as a fourth or fifth defender, because all it takes is, well, just one clean sheet in either the double game weeks, right? Or just like a random assist or a goal, or you know, I mean,
to score a headed goal.
I have seen Yoshida score a goal with my own eyes on TV, not in person.
Back when you were living on the South Coast.
So I'm just looking here, Brandon. Maya Yoshida has not scored a goal this season, but he's scored one goal in each of the last three seasons. Maya Yoshida will score a goal this year.
The stats don't lie.
So I think Southampton will win this game. But you know, I don't know if Gabbadini's back yet. I don't think there's any.
There doesn't seem to be any as of this writing. I mean, I'm sure the press conferences will.
Yeah.
Will illuminate that a bit more. No talk of Josh Keane here, though.
No talk of King.
I feel like we saw somebody on Twitter saying is Joshua King fixture proof? So it's already gotten to this level of Joshua King basically being, I don't know who else is in that conversation of being fixture proof.
Josh King is a good player, and if you bring him in, more power to you. Go with God. You know, good luck.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I can't argue with that. I don't think we should push that any further.
All right. And that brings us to Sunday. We have Swansea and the Burgers, a true six pointer.
This has the possibility of being a rather dull affair, but it does give me that rare opportunity to start Martin de Roon, and happily so. I'm not going to double up on Swansea midfield with Tom Carroll and Sigurdsson, so I'm going to pit Sigurdsson against Martin de Roon.
Yeah, I think you're right. It could be a dull affair. Neither team – you would think it would be cagey, and neither team wants to lose this game.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge game for both of these teams.
Yeah. I would expect Swansea to win. They kind of have to win this game. If you're losing at home to – even drawing at home, you know, just given – given all the good work they've done to crawl themselves out of the relegation spot, it'd really be a shame.
Yeah, I can't predict a clean sheet for Middlesbrough. Swansea, maybe. So maybe this is an Alfie Mawson game.
Yeah, yeah.
But given how hard Swansea will surely be pressing for a goal, it's got to be open. It's got to be pretty open.
Arsenal-Man City, final game of the day. And this is where we get back to the Flowerdew Thunberg derby that we were discussing earlier.
In this corner, you have Thunberg. Yeah. In that corner, Flowerdew.
I don't know. If you're going to burn four for anybody, it's probably, it's probably Alexis Sanchez that you want to burn the four for. Man City's defense completely sucks. I mean, they're so bad. I you might as well have like the Stoke defense playing you at home. There's no difference. I mean, there's no reason to think that City is going to be, I know that they kept clean sheets, home to Stoke and away to Sunderland in the double game week a couple weekends ago, but those teams are terrible. And, when they play a team that has any kind of attack, they tend to, concede a few. So, the question is, do we think that Sanchez would get like a brace? That's like kind of that's the kind of return you'd want, right?
If you're burning four, yes. Captain. And yeah. I do not think that's happening. I do not think it is. Particularly if he's going to be traveling Tuesday night.
If you're captaining though, I feel like that does make the four worth less somehow. It feels more like burning two or something.
Yeah, and I don't want to be a spoil sport. It does sound fun, Luke. Sounds like it would be a good time.
You're kind of being on a spoil sport right now. Okay, if I were to rank my top two options for captains this week, I would pick Jamie Vardy and Diego Costa. And maybe Sanchez third, just because Sanchez is like a great, like, he's always a good third option.
I'm feeling good about Sergio Aguero right now. Mm-hmm. I think Arsenal looks like crap. I think their midfield in particular is soft and is playing like crap. I think there are going to be plenty of scoring opportunities for City and Aguero. I'll bet you 50 cents, Josh, 50p, mm-hmm. that Aguero scores a goal against Arsenal.
I'll bet you 50 cents that Sanchez has more points than Aguero at the end of this match.
Deal. I'll take it.
All right. It's on. Suddenly okay. It's the $49 50-cent cup.
Remind me who your captain picks were.
Vardy and Costa.
Yeah, I'll go Aguero and Vardy.
Okay, that's the good options there. All right, thanks everybody for listening. It's good to be back, and I hope this podcast was helpful. It was good talking to you, Brandon.
It's great catching up, Josh.
I know, yeah. we were part of a poker game yesterday, and it's kind of an unspoken rule that, like, when you and I are among non-fantasy nerds, that we do not talk about things like Fantasy Premier League. I don't think it even came
up. There was definitely like a Fight Club aspect to it yesterday at the poker game. We were very reserved. There was a point during the game in which you said to the game collectively, and I'm a major Premier League fan, and you made no attempt to... you just sort of said it out of hand, like it was a funny little thing about you. And
did I even have a point, or did I just say it out of the blue? Hey, just everybody, just so you know. It's just
like Tourette's. That's basically what this podcast has become, just us shouting out things with no context.
It's like a Republican talk radio.
But here it is. It's the home stretch of the FPL here. I think this has been the last break before the end of the season.
Two things, Brandon, two people I want to thank at the end of this podcast. One is Roger Kendrick. Thank you for your pledge this game week. And Tom Cantle, a very big thank you for your pledge. And Tom, we will have your pins out ASAP. Everyone who has pledged a pin should have received them by now. But let me just go back in and make sure that was true.
Or feel free to send us hate mail if you haven't gotten your pins.
Yeah, exactly. We ended up having to create like kind of a massive spreadsheet to sort it all out. And there are a lot of international shipments in there, and it got a little tricky. So if you pledge $5 and you have not received a pin, please let me know ASAP, and we'll send out like bonus pins to you to apologize for it. So
thanks to everyone for pledging on Patreon who does so. That helps us offset the cost of running the pod, and it's a huge help. And you can check out ways to support us and the rewards that you get at patreon.com/alwayscheating.
That's right. And if you want to subscribe to the podcast, if you haven't already, you can go to iTunes, subscribe there, leave a review. You can listen to us directly on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, or TuneIn.
And for those of you asking about downloading MP3 files, if that's easier for you to listen, you can do that right on our SoundCloud page. And on social media, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters, where we'll be live tweeting all of the highs and lows of the game week this weekend. Facebook, we're at facebook.com/alwayscheating. And you can send us an email at hailcheaters@gmail.com.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And Brandon, have mercy.
And Bakani forever, Joshua.
All right. Hail cheaters, everybody.
Poku forever.